นะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะบุญหังธัมมังสังฆังนะมะสังฆามิ So today is the new moon, Friday. So I thought I'm waiting for tomorrow to give a talk. I thought I'd give a talk tonight, since we'll be here practicing late. And not a lot of topic jumped out at the moment. But the thing that came up was that there was some discussion today about just kind of the passing of time, how quickly it does go. And life in the monastery, yeah, it's pretty regular. Certain things. That's kind of the paradox of living in a community, living in a place that has a structure. That on the one hand, it feels very same. Every day it just kind of melts into the other. And on one level, it feels like, oh, I was just getting... The rain just finished a few weeks ago. Now there's another rain starting already. Yeah, things are kind of zooming by. But on another level, every day is different. And that's what I'm trying to kind of encourage people to focus on. That kind of bring as much energy, as much awareness into your different daily activities. So try to break the day up into different sections. Like, you know, there's the waking up in the morning, there's the meal, and there's a form of meditation. And try to reflect on what happens during those things. So actually your day, and you know, the fourth tradition is always kind of mindfulness in daily life. How are we doing our chores? How are we looking after our room, our dwelling place? How are we, relating to each other? How do we look after communal places? So I was trying to encourage people to kind of place, put an emphasis on that, on the day-to-day activity, bring your mindfulness into that. And it starts out, your day actually starts not that morning, but the night before. And when you go to bed, you know, how are you setting up? Is your bowl ready to be taken in the morning? Everything in your yam already? Everything folded, neatly ready to be taken so you wake up? You know, your awareness, you're sharp. You don't have to run around to get things ready, everything set up, and you just, you know, wake up with clarity and go to the morning sitting. And then when you wake up, you know, how do you wake up? You know, when you, that's the other thing. When you sleep at night, do you set up your awareness into, I'm gonna, when the alarm clock wake, I'm gonna wake up right away. So you, you know, when you fall asleep, instead of kind of falling into a, you know, a stupor, dreaming, fantasizing, whatever. Like the sutta said, like Buddha said, when I lie down with the intention of, you know, getting up again next morning. I lie down mindfulness and I wake up with mindfulness. Yeah, so much of that is bringing continuity into the practice, that your day is just not a disjointed of different activities, but the mind for something that carries on throughout the day. So when you sleep, lie down with mindfulness, watching the breath, fade away, sleep, and wake up. Wake up with mindfulness. You know, paying attention, you know, which position do you wake up? Your right side, left side, on your back. Just pay attention. When you wake up, you know, bring as much clarity, much mindfulness, paying attention to how to rouse that up instead of kind of just in a stupor, drag yourself to the sala, plop yourself down. You know, bring up. Make your bed, look around, clean the room, tidy up the room a little bit before you leave. Hopefully, like you said, all your things are set up already from the night before. And then when you go to the meditation hall, you know, there is another opportunity to train. You know, bring as much clarity, much gusto into the chanting. When you're sitting down meditation, paying attention, you know, how's my meditation going? What is my hindrance in the morning? Is it the restlessness? Is it sloth and torpor? I'm paying attention. You know, how am I staying awake? Am I paying attention to my posture? the last couple of sessions been a bit of low energy, how to rouse this energy. So the training is always about kind of monitoring, balancing, tuning, see what works or not. Yeah, so a bit of tinkering. So every day is slightly always different. And we have mindfulness, every day is completely different from each other. So, you know, seeing what works, seeing where the mind's inclining. Is it inclined towards more energy, more brightness in the mind, more clarity? Or sometimes you get caught up in kind of a low energy kind of a cycle. It's fine, you know. Energy goes up and down, emotions goes up and down, but it's the ability just to watch, to be with it, and to know whether, you know, to fine tune it a little bit, to see what works or not. You know, mind, when you find yourself in the low energy, you know, use your wisdom, your intelligence, to rouse up some energy somewhere. Find ways, you know, create creative ways to bring more energy, bring more inspiration, more faith into the practice. Yeah. So then the morning sitting is an opportunity to bring clarity. You know, how's it been going? And then same, that is, you know, kind of the second sitting. And then the mealtime. Mealtime is also an important time to practice. Yeah. Not to just to fill our stomach, because obviously we're hungry by then. But, you know, eating with mindfulness, with clarity, eating measure, watching the food you eat, does it agree with you? Are the symptoms afterward, you give me a lot of gas, certain things you eat, does it clogs you up, brings you up, you know, brings a lot, or does you eat enough, not enough, too much? So it's just kind of monitoring that, watching that happening. And like I said, suggesting different practice, you know, one is in having your mouth full before you get full. If that's hard to sustain. Then how many times you chew before you swallow? Yeah, just little things that bring into, you know, kind of getting, instead of getting carried away with the taste of the food, just kind of bring a bit, you know, stepping back a bit and bring a bit of clarity to it, you know, that. Well, just any mindfulness around the eating process. What does it feel like when you chew the food in your mouth? What does that texture feel like? Different ways. Yeah, as you eat, see what kind of emotions come up, feelings that come up during the meal. And monitor, yeah, eating too much, too little, just right. Just this ability just to watch and to this interest, this care, see what's happening. Instead of, you know, just leaving your old habits and tendencies, compulsiveness to take over, but just the ability to watch it and to kind of fine-tune the whole process. So that's the kind of the meal, after the meal, the washing up, you know, looking around. And the communal activity is always kind of looking, watching, looking, and acting. Yeah. When it's time to kind of let go, but there's time to engage. Yeah. Looking around, see what needs to be done. You know, sharing the chores, making sure the kitchen's well to kind of clean up before we take off. Looking around with, you know, other things that need to be done. So this ability is just to get always, you know, kind of be switched on instead of going on automatic pilot. Look around, you know, to be aware, awake. Always, you know, using your clarity, your sampajana, your kind of clear comprehension, to look with the reflective ability, to see what the situation needs. Are we taking too long to eat? Eating too fast? How to pace ourselves? Yeah. And it's good to finish eating, clean up, before you get carried away with too much conversation. You know, it's good to have conversation, but, you know, how are we kind of monitoring that? So just this constant awareness happening around. It's not to kind of make you too tense and, like, you know, to worry about, oh, am I doing this wrong? But no, it's just kind of ability just to monitor happening. With your activity, your mental activity throughout the day. Consciously, it's just ability to watch and to be aware. And And so that's the eating. Same with the chores, working together in harmony, not getting carried away in different ideas. And that's the main thing was, you know, there's many ways to do things. So it's important we can work together in harmony and not, you know, get too get heat up over how to do things. And that's kind of and also ability just to let go and forgive and move on. Yeah, there's always disagreement, there's always friction among different situations. But yeah, just kind of giving each other benefit of the doubt. People have bad days, people get carried away, and just kind of move on. Every day is a new day. Every day is a new day to practice. To practice, you know, kind of generosity, practice forgiveness, moving on. And otherwise, what else is happening in terms of the practice? Yeah, and it's kind of, you know, we're doing a lot of sitting, walking meditation, a lot of formal meditation. So every so often, just reflect, you know, where is your meditation heading towards? You know, is it heading toward more clarity? You know, is it time to stick with the same object or just switch it around? You know, the mind is a bit peaceful, but is there that sharpness, that energy? You know, is it time to kind of put focus on the breath a bit more? Or is it switch back? Or are you getting too much stress in your headache, in your temple? Then it's time to relax a little bit. So it's just a bit of kind of always, you know, kind of reflecting, fine-tuning, balancing the practice. It's not always kind of automatic pilot, banging away the breath or banging away or certain things all the time. But so it's, you know, every few days just to reflect, to look back, to review your progress, to see what's happening, you know. And not to kind of kind of have a thinking, oh yeah, whatever, it is what it is. Because it, you know, initially the practice is a lot about kind of fine tuning. It's like a training. And you know what muscles you need to work, you know what exercises, work certain things. The same. You find yourself experiencing a lot of lust, one of the things, then you look at, open the books, look at the super practice, look at the body, you find yourself being a bit dull. Then find ways to rouse energy, rouse clarity. Yeah. With reflection on death, reflection on gratitude, reflection on great opportunities to be here, to practice. So rouse up those energy to focus the mind. Instead of just allowing it just to drift through the day with ideas and fantasies and memories and thoughts. But kind of bring it, you know, where am I? It's a great opportunity to be here and to practice. Yeah, there's different ways to do that. I find that's kind of the paradox of monastic life. It is every day seems to be the same. But I find that, you know, over time as the mind clears, the mind settles down, has so much energy and brightness, that really every day is a new adventure, an opportunity to see new things to yourself and to others. Mind is clear, there's lots of little insights always, you know, appearing up. And it's a great way. And yeah, even though we don't do much, we don't go anywhere, you find yourself, you find that so much, you learn so much about yourself and the world around you because the mind is clear. Mind is settled. You're looking at the forest, looking at the trees, looking at how we relate to each other, looking at the different states in your mind, how you see different things, how you feel. Yeah, I find this, it's kind of an amazing adventure. Just being one place. Like my 7 years at Bodhinyana was the most kind of interesting, fascinating years. And certainly the 8 years here. Yeah, not really going anywhere, staying in one place. Yeah, you find that, it's kind of a fascinating experience, being in one place and seeing the change in yourself, looking to yourself, knowing, get to know, you know, this body and mind of yours. Yesho in one sense is non-self, and conditions, causes and conditions, they change. But in another sense, there is a very individual karmic conditions that we're all born into, that we all evolved from. Yeah, and to understand that, your non-self, is kind of fascinating. And it is on the one hand, it's part of restraint and it can be boring, can't do much. But really, the restraint, you know, drawing your energy in, conserving it, brings clarity, brings a sense of well-being, brings happiness. And that's the irony people don't get. Sometimes you think, you know, oh, I can't do this, can't, don't have the internet, can't watch a movie, can't listen to music. Sounds like a prison. Sounds like it must be terrible. We must be so depressed walking around because we can't do anything. But really, the actual practice, the living experience, is just the opposite. That when you do restrain yourself, you don't waste your energy on the entertaining, on outside, external activity too much. There's so much joy and happiness. There's so much excitement in the mind that overwhelms everything. Yeah, and it more than compensate what the worldly pleasure has to offer. And that's something that's uniquely a monastic experience. Something that comes from a clear mind, comes from a bright mind, comes from a high energy mind. But it does, in the beginning, the transition period can be uncomfortable. Obviously, everybody's used to doing what you want to do, when you want to do, experience lots of things, sight, sound, and taste and touch and all that stuff. And come into a place where that's just kind of, kind of severely reduced, structured, monitored. It feels, yeah, there's a lot of banging against the wall. But it's normal. Yeah, so once things settle down, there is a brightness. There's a clarity, sense of well-being. And there's immense joy and happiness in this path. Yeah. So it's not always, you know, restraint. But initially, it does take that thing. That is actually, you know, the ability just to be with unpleasant things, to be, you know, could be a bit of lack of sleep, eating a certain time only, or whatever. But once we let go into the structure, we let go into the emptiness, the non-doing, the non-experience of things, you'll see, as the energy starts to gather, the mind becomes more brighter. There's immense happiness and contentment, sense of clarity, a sense of kind of deep sense of well-being. That is not something that you normally feel in the world when the mind is distracted, the mind is tired, the mind is moving around too much, doing many things. So as we kind of gear towards the reins, just for a bit more restraint, a bit more kind of drawn inward, our five senses, six sense, not doing as much as the monastery, kind of monitoring, doing more formal meditation. Something that outwardly can look like a prison. Hopefully the experience, the inner experience is something just the opposite. That is leading us towards, you know, liberation, freedom. Freedom from compulsiveness, freedom from wanting to do things, freedom from feeling the emptiness of the sense things with distractions and different things. And this amazing feeling that, yes, we don't need anything. We don't need the props of sense pleasure to be happy. We're just happy sitting in our hut. Happy walking backwards and forwards in a jhankan path, feeling, you know, connected, feeling a sense of a communion, a relation to ourselves and the world around us. Yeah. And that's what a clear mind offers, a sense of well-being, a sense of connectedness, a sense of confidence that, you know, we have what it takes to realize ultimate freedom. It's just the faith, it's just the confidence to start walking the path, to start putting into practice, you know, on a day-to-day basis, Yeah, the steadiness, the consistency of always, you know, kind of putting forth the effort that's required. Right? And like the chanting that we liked, that was focusing on this week, you know, yeah, the mind that has wholesome states, it dwells, you know, happily. The energetic mind dwells happily. It's the lazy, sloth and torpor, low energy mind. That's suffering. But sometimes you may not notice that. Yeah. So as we rouse energy for the as yet unrealized state, not just for our wealth and benefit, but also out of gratitude, you know, and gratitude and appreciation for the great support that we receive from the lay people. I was talking the other day, Zindi comes, you know, every week. She runs a restaurant, 2 kids. She comes to feed us. Not just myself, but you guys as well. Yeah. So, yeah, to reflect on that, you want to make sure that our effort brings her happiness. That whatever good karma we generate, she has a part of that. Yeah, so we want to make sure that, you know, that her effort of, you know, driving, is not wasted on herself. Not from a sense of guilt or remorse, but it's just from, the opportunity is here. We have this great opportunity to practice. We have good health, most of us. The condition is great at the present time. So the only thing is, for us to rouse effort for the as yet unattained, not just for the welfare and happiness of ourselves, but welfare and happiness of all beings. So I offer this reflection for you tonight, just kind of bringing mindfulness on a day-to-day basis, maintain the consistency of steadiness throughout the day, not just when you go to sleep, but just when you wake up, to all the way to when you rest. Okay? Certainly maintain wakefulness for the next 7 hours. As much as you can. Okay, good.